This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Amen.
All right. All right, let's open our Bibles back up to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. We're going to continue on as we have been in the Sermon of the Lord on Wednesday nights. As a matter of fact, when the introduction was preached, Josh was here, and he's the one that titled the introduction message, A Call to Action. And then we took a little of a sabbatical for a few weeks and picked back up. And tonight, I believe, we're on the fourth installment or the fifth installment. I think it's the fourth of the Servant of the Lord series. Now, I had mentioned last Wednesday night that we were going to conclude this evening, and I misspoke. We're going to conclude verse 24 tonight. So we still have two more installments after this evening for the Servant of the Lord. So let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. And let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just going to read the three verses that are going to be our text for the series. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the guidance and direction that you've given us. Father, I do want to thank you for Brother and Sister Ormsby being back here in the church this evening. I think you're bringing home safe. And Lord, we thank you for the recovery the India has had. Lord, we just pray that you continue to watch over. And Lord, I'm also encouraged at the ministry for Brother and Sister Ormsby. Father, we pray that you continue to watch over them during this deputation period. And Lord, we hate to see them go, but we pray that you get them into the field of Italy as soon as possible, Lord God, that a great commission may be achieved. And Lord, we love you now and thank you for all that you've done. We ask you to be with us tonight in this short time. Lord, inspire our heart this evening through your word on being a servant of the Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you. In Christ's precious name we say and ask these things. Amen and amen. Thanks so much. Please be seated. And just by way of quick introduction, I want to go over just the points of the last and previous sermons that we've heard on the servant of the Lord. So what we've heard thus far, that a servant of the Lord, in order to be a servant of the Lord, you have to serve in the will of God. Number one, we said this the first week, that he must serve with singleness of heart, being established in the faith by submitting unto the will of God. So we know that's how the servant of the Lord must serve. The next thing that we looked at was that he must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. That means he needs not be contentious, but he needs to have compassion. He needs to be consecrated and practicing consistently in his Christian life. And just last week we heard about the servant, not last week, the week before, we heard about the servant of the Lord that he needs to be apt to teach, which means he needs to study, or she needs to study. They need to show the things. You know, the concluding statements that I have on the bottom of my work email says that people care more about what you show than what you know. Amen? They care more about what you show than what you know. So apt to teach, you need to study, yes, but you need to show, you need to speak, and you need to speak sound doctrine. That is life-giving doctrine. These are all traits of what consists of being the servant of the Lord and what consists of being the good and faithful servant of the Lord. So tonight we're going to finish up on verse 24, and we're going to finish up with that one simple word, the very last word that is left there in the verse, and that is the word patient. Patience, beloved. Listen, the number one needed characteristic in the Christian's life tonight, let me say this probably in everybody's life tonight, saved or lost, in all creation is going to be patience. I mean, I think we can all agree with that tonight, that we all need a little more patience in our life, be it our Christian life, be it our school life, our work life. Not saying that our Christian life is any separate, but in serving the Lord and in witnessing and praying for people, we need to be patient for the will of God. The psalmist said that rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. There are some days, friend, there are some days that I want the Lord Jesus Christ to come back a lot quicker than I do on other days. Amen. That's not to say that I don't want him to come back on other days, but that is the day. There are some days I'm just looking a little bit harder for him to come back in the sky and take us up there. But the Bible says rest in the Lord. You know what I can rest in tonight? I can rest in this simple fact that the Lord is coming back someday. Amen. I know that to be true. Why? Because the Word of God has told me that. And so we need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Solomon said, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Now, that's a powerful statement there in Ecclesiastes 7:8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Ecclesiastes 7:8. Friend, I want to say this to you tonight. The souls in the tribulation period, those souls that will be saved, Jesus Christ tells us in Luke 21:19, says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Now, there's a doctrinal salvation message to that, to Luke 21:19. There's also a practical statement to that as well that we can apply in our life. In your patience possess ye your souls. It's not for salvation for us, but there is a practical application that we can look at in the patience in the life of a Christian. I do believe that we should try to practice patience as much as we can with one another, with society, with life. You know, Sunday afternoon, we spoke about failures. I went back and listened to that sermon Monday, and I do that at time to time, but typically just to critique it. And it was like I told you, it wasn't necessarily a sermon. What was it? It was more or less a discussion. Well, I used one verse, Galatians 5:17, but we went over the simple fact, and we all agreed that every one of us in here have failed, and we're probably going to fail in some category down the road in our life. It's going to happen. We're going to hit failures. But failing does not make you a failure. Amen. We fail in our life because of the flesh, but we can get through our failures because of our faith. We can get through our failures in the flesh because of our faith. Being the servant of the Lord in the society that we live in today is no different. Amen. It is no different, but it is going to require patience in our life. It's going to require patience in the ministry. Anybody in here that is a parent understands that you're going to have patience, amen, when you raise children. You're going to have patience when you're in a car with four kids, amen, on a trip, praise the Lord. One of the greatest inventions ever made was the audio CD of Odyssey. Now, parents, if you don't have the Odyssey CDs, I'm telling you what, talk about captivating an audience. We got, before the last trip we took, I got Niecy one of the satellite radios, and I never been a big fan of it. I had a free subscription in my car, and I'll be honest with you guys, I still listen to like two channels. You know, that's why we don't pay for TV at home, man. I mean, we watch two channels if we want, when we watch it. And so, but we got that satellite, and we listened to two channels. I listened to Fox News. And then I'm listening to 105.9, I think, or 105.1, which is the Solid Gospel channel here locally, or Murfreesboro's 104.9. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is they got a Radio Classic channel on there. How many people have heard of the Radio Classic channel? It's got all the old radio classes like Dick Tracy and Dragnet and Yours Truly and all these old Gunsmoke and these Bonanza. It's got all those old things, you know, that we like to watch on TV at times. My kids love listening to them. I'm telling you right now, my four kids, 12 and under, will sit there and listen to those old 1940s and those 1930s and early 1950s radio classic and not say an absolute word. It is hilarious, amen. And we think we have to have a TV to entertain them. I'm telling you, those stories on DVD or CD and those stories on the radio, they work, man. They're wonderful, amen. And you say, well, preacher, that's not being patient. No, that's being realistic, amen. You're going to take a 12-hour trip, son. You better have something other than some NyQuil, amen, and Benadryl to captivate their attention, praise the Lord. And I'm joking with the NyQuil and the Benadryl just a little bit. I'm kidding, amen. Look over in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's talk a little bit about patience tonight in our life. There's something that is so needed in the Christian's life today. It's something that's so needed in all of our lives, I believe. I think it is resisted the majority of the time because this is probably the one element that is easy to resist in the Christian life. We're going to look at three things here in just a moment about patience. And I hope and pray that when you leave here tonight that you learn a little more about patience, but you can understand how to obtain patience in your Christian life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, I believe it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Watch this. Be patient toward all men. Can I stop you there just for a second? I know plenty of preachers and friends of mine in churches this is the verse right here they hang their hat on for nursing home ministries. Amen? Comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. That right there alone, they have hung their hat on that verse to have a nursing home. Now, I believe in nursing home ministry. I think they're right. I think we should do exactly what the Word of God says. Now, I know other churches, and other ministers and other preachers and friends and those in churches that will hang their hat on that verse right there to go up and rebuke someone who's doing the wrong thing. Or they'll use it for their exhorting verse. Warn the unruly. Those that are unruly in life, they need to be warned. And they need to be simply told that, hey, this lifestyle is not going to get you anywhere that you want to go. But y'all heard very few people in their Christian life hang their hat on that verse when it comes to the last statement. We'll go into the nursing homes and we'll say, bless God, I'm doing the will of God because I am to comfort the feeble-minded. I am to support the weak. This is what I'm doing. We'll use that verse when those are unruly and living a riotous living to go out there and say, listen, you're doing the wrong thing. Let me tell you about this. You're doing the wrong thing. You're not serving the Lord. You need to be doing something better. But very few people will take that and turn the mirror upon themselves and say, be patient. Notice the rest of the verse. What does it say? Unto all men. Guys, I'm not telling you this is easy. I'm just telling you this is real. Amen. It's not easy. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. I know that it's not easy. I know patience is the hardest thing for us to obtain in our life. But the servant of the Lord, just as the servant of the Lord was commanded to be gentle unto all men, the servant of the Lord was commanded to serve the Lord. He was commanded to be apt to teach. The servant of the Lord tonight is also commanded to be patient. Now, did you notice something back there in 2 Timothy? And I'll have you turn a handful of times tonight. I want you to see where this word patient shows up. Where is it in this verse? It doesn't say in the servant of the Lord must be patient, not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say the servant of the Lord must not strive, be patient, but gentle unto all men. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, patient, apt to teach. Doesn't say that. It says patient at the very end after what? Apt to teach. The word apt means, remember, what does it mean? It means fit. It means suitable. It means qualified to teach the things of the Word of God and the things of living for the Lord. So, how are you apt to teach? The first thing that you need to be apt to teach is you got to have a knowledge of the Scripture. You got to know the Word of God. But knowing the Word of God and having that ability to teach, meaning that knowledge, does not make you fit or suitable or qualified to teach, for your ability to teach the Word of God is fortified in the very next word, and that is patient. You are qualified to teach the Word of God when you know how to be patient with those of whom you are teaching. And friend, that's the hardest part. Have you ever tried to teach a child something that you just think he ought to get right away? I mean, you're trying to teach him and you're like, can't you get this, man? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine today. I think that hit home. But I was talking to a friend of mine today, and we were talking about somebody else, somebody that I grew up with, and they said, you know what? She is sweet as can be. And I can hear a but coming on. You ever hear those sentences? You just know somewhere in the end of this sentence, there's a comma and the word but, not a period, amen? She's so sweet. She's so nice. I mean, I love her to death and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But she's dumb as a box of rocks. And I knew it was coming. And of course, I knew the person they were talking about and I had to agree. And she just is. She goes, you know, I trained her. I was here a month. I trained her and she still to this day comes and asks me, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And you just run across there are people that are like that. And sometimes you're tempted to go, listen, don't you get this? Can I, you want to shake them or shake yourself? And guys, I'm not saying it's wrong to feel that way. I'm telling you, like I said Sunday, it's normal. We're human. But I am going to say this to you this evening. Being apt to teach is also means that you got to be patient. Some people are going to get things a little bit slower than you do. Amen. Some people are going to get things a little, it's going to take a few more times. Sometimes you got to teach them. You got to be creative in your own self and teach them in ways that you didn't learn, so that they may be able to learn it just a little bit easier. Sometimes you got to use pictures. Sometimes you got to use a song. Sometimes you got to use your hands. You guys notice a lot of times when I'm speaking, I'm using my hands. You know why I'm using my hands? Because it is proven that people only remember 18% of what they hear, but 55% of what they see. That's one reason I make eye contact with you guys. And I look off into the corner somewhere when I preach. And a lot of great preachers did that. I don't. I look you square in the eyes. You know why? Because you're going to remember 55% of facial expressions and only 18% of what I see. But when you put the things together, you're more apt to remember what we spoke about tonight and what you heard. Why am I doing that? Because each one of you guys are going to learn in a different way. You're going to learn at a different speed. You're going to learn in different categories, and you're going to have a memory bank much better than maybe me or somebody else. You're going to remember things that I can't remember. And I'm going to remember things that you can't. We all learn at a different pace. Being apt to teach and being the servant of the Lord requires you to be patient unto all men, everywhere and everyone. That's hard, guys. It's not easy, but it is true. You say, well, preacher, how am I going to get patience? That's what we're going to find out tonight. And I can promise you this, you're probably going to be happy about the first one. You're going to loathe the other two. That's just the way it is. Amen. But being patient, there's three ways that you're going to possess patience tonight. I'm going to have you turn your book, the book of Hebrews real quick. And I want to show you why we must obtain patience in our life. It is the hardest part of being a servant of the Lord, I believe, is being patient in the lives of other people. Can I say this? Can I make a statement that just kind of came to me by a second? Just for a second. One of the reasons we need to be patient in serving the Lord with people is because people are not God. They're not perfect. We got to be patient with them. Okay, guys, I'm going to tell you, I historically, I'm probably not the most patient person in the world. I'm not known to sit down. I'm not known to sit still. I like things going like this. I'm an active person. I'm hyperactive, what people would say, probably. I like to get things done. I like to get things done quickly. I like people to keep up speed with me. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's my nature. But when I'm serving the Lord, I've learned real quick-like that my nature has to take a back seat. See, it's in His timing. He's going to come back when He's ready to come back. He's going to come back when the last person is saved that He knows about His foreknowledge. That's when He's going to come back. And every time I drop a track, and every time I witness somebody, every time I pray for somebody and pray with them and share the Word of God with them, I have to keep in mind this is in His timing. God's not in a hurry. Amen? He's not in a hurry. So I'm saying all that to say this to you this evening. Not only is this going to apply being a servant of the Lord, it's not going to just apply in your individual ministries, be it through the church or your ministries on the outside of the church. You say, what is that? That's your life. We all have a ministry. Amen. You may not be heading the ministry up in the local church, but when you got saved and born again, we all have a ministry. And it's 24/7, guys. You have a ministry when you're at home, when you're outside of the front of your house, the back of your house, when you're in the community grocery store, when you're at the bank, when you're at the daycare, when you're wherever you are, we all have a ministry because people are watching. Amen? They're watching what you're doing. And you may do the right thing 99 times, and when you do the wrong thing the one time, guess what? They're watching, and they're going to see that. That's what they're going to remember. If you look there in the book of Hebrews, I want to give you three ways tonight as we look in obtaining patience. Three ways the servant of the Lord will possess patience. Number one, you're going to add patience, or you can allow patience. You will acquire patience tonight. One of these ways you will have patience in your life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. This is what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And just look here. The Bible says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Now, what did he say there? What do ye have need of patience? Again, I say this to you, friend. We need patience in our life. One of those three ways you will obtain patience one way or another. Now, we're going to go over all three of these ways real quick. I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but I am going to ask you this. How many people in here would say inherently they are probably an impatient person? Raise your hand. Come on. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you for all the honest people in here. Amen. You say you're not patient, right? I said a minute ago I'm not patient, but you really are, aren't you? You're patient. How many people queued up today? How many people went to the grocery store, went to the bank? Do you go to the grocery store? Okay, was you first in line at the cash register? So you got in the queue, you queued up there, you got lined up in there, right? You went to another one? Okay, so you're impatient, right? Amen. But you didn't make that line go any faster, though, did you? All right. You go to the bank and you get behind a car. When you get behind a car there, you don't make that car go any faster. I went to the bank the other day, and I got behind the car there because I didn't want to go through the little slot there. The second one, I like to see Sandra. I like to talk to her a little bit. And so I got in that line, and I guarantee you, three cars went through that other slot and got their business done while I sat there. And I'm like, man, are you really seriously kidding me? So I thought, well, I'll back up, and I'll go over there. I was like, no, because the minute I do that, this guy will go forward. Well, he didn't go forward. The other guy went through quicker anyway. But anyway, I didn't make the guy in front of me go any faster. So what did I just prove? I was patient. I wasn't happy about it. I wanted it to go faster. It didn't change my attitude, didn't change my outlook, but it also didn't change my position in that line either, did it? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We're going to have patience in this life, whether we realize it or whether we like it. There's a way that we can add patience to our life, or we can allow patience in our life, or we're going to acquire patience one way or another. Turn over to 2 Peter with me in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, speaking again of the servant of the Lord, he must be patient in our life today. We must be patient in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to find here the very first point. We're going to see how we're going to obtain patience in our life, possessing the servant of the Lord, is number one, we need to add patience in our life. Now, if you're any type of good Southerner, and I know we have some transplants, but if you're any type of good Southerner, when you make your sweet tea, amen, the only kind of way to have cold tea is sweet, amen. And I don't know who in their right mind wants to drink cold tea without sugar in it, amen. Now, when I was in the Midwest, I lived in Nebraska, they don't mix sugar when they make their tea. They say, oh, it's on the table. All that does is pour the sugar all the way down the bottom of the cup. It doesn't sweeten anything. It's nasty, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to boil that tea. And I had to teach my wife that. She's still got some Pennsylvania blood in her. You know, she'd get that straight. But I had to teach her, for 1 gallon of tea, how much sugar do you put in there, Southerners? One cup. One cup of sugar per gallon of tea. Okay? Now, you mix it in there when the water is at what? At boil. Why? Because sugar melts. You stir that bad boy up, then you mix it together, and you're good to go. Now you got your good tea. Amen? Now, if you didn't learn anything tonight, you learn how to make good Southern iced tea. Now, here's the reality of that. What do you do with that? What did you just do with that sugar and that water? You added it to it. You physically, literally added that unto the tea. It didn't miraculously appear. It sure enough didn't get there on its own. Amen. You can tell the difference in that kind of taste. You added it to your boiling water. Look here, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible tells me, 1 Peter chapter 1, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is what enables us to be apt to teach. But in order for us to be fit or suitable to teach, we must be what? Patient in the lives of people around us, in the life that the Lord has given us. You go back to verse 5, what does it say there? It didn't say subtract, it didn't say divide, it didn't say multiply, it said add. Okay? That's the difference, friend. We are to physically, emotionally, spiritually, but literally add patience into the life that we have in this world today. We can see testimonies of people in the gone past who have added patience to their life. The Bible says in James 5, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen, amen. Listen, we have seen the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture that he was very patient unto the end. We look at Job's life and we wonder, how on earth did he get through that? Friend, he got through that by adding patience unto his life. And whether you know it or not, you are going to add patience into your life every single day. Flip over there with me real quick to the book of James. And you'll go back two books and you should be there. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, whether you know it or not, you add patience to your life every single day. And I mentioned that just a second ago by utilizing the illustration of the grocery store. When you go and you get into the line there at the grocery store, you can't make the people in front of you go any faster. It just doesn't happen. Now, I remember back in the days when we used to go to Sam's quite a bit, and bless her heart, my wife would go in there in the middle of the summer, and it's hotter than blue blazes. She had one kid on her hip and another kid in her hand and one around her leg and a big, huge thing of food and all this. And I mean, it was, you're not hurrying anybody up. Everybody's hot. Everybody's uncomfortable. Everybody's miserable, and nobody's moving fast at all. The only thing that you can pitch the biggest fit you want to. You can cry. You can have a temper tantrum. You can do all that. You're not moving any faster in the line, number one. Therefore, you add patience to your life, whether you know it or not. James 5:7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Early and latter rain, friend, has always been a picture of blessings upon the earth. It was a picture of blessings for the Hebrews. It was a picture of blessings even unto us today. The early and the latter rain is a blessing that leads into the harvest. So let me say this to you tonight, that the servant of the Lord must do the same thing. We need to do that in our teaching. We need to do that in the setting of our examples. Guys, I can tell you this. I've pastored for 11 years now. I've been preaching for 15 years. And I've preached in the jails, on the streets, in the nursing homes, in the churches, across the borders, across the seas. You guys know all that, and I come across all sorts of types of people at all times. I deal with people to this very day. I still get phone calls daily, people looking for advice, looking for guidance. I get emails. I get physical letters that come in. We get all of these things, and some of these people that call me, they're telling me the same thing now as me being 40 that they were telling me when I was 27. Same thing. Some are 10 and 15 years older than I am and calling me up. Man, I just don't understand. I don't know how to get through this. And you say, well, preacher, do you just bawl them out? Nope. I tell them the same thing I told them back in 1998 and 1999 and then 2000. You said, why? Because they ain't done that yet. Amen. When they do that and it still don't work, then we'll go to round two. But until they do that one, they don't get any more advice. That's that starting point. You say, do you get frustrated? Do you get upset? Secretly, probably, yeah. Is it a burden? Yeah. I mean, guys, there's a heavy weight. Colter will tell you this. There's a heavy weight when you pastor a church, no matter what size it is. No matter what size it is. But we'll tell you this. One thing you'll learn is patience. Amen? In any ministry. Now, see, I've gotten to the point over the past several years in trying to get us to understand that it's not when you the positions of pastor and missionary and evangelist and all this. Yes, those are ministries that people are called unto. But, man, we got to get it through our heads, get it through our skulls. When you got saved and born again, you were given a ministry in this world. You were given a ministry as a soldier of the Lord, as a servant of the Lord. You were given work to do in this life, no matter who you are, amen. Be it pastor or pew, you're given a job to do, amen. And it's going to require some patience on your life. Titus chapter 2 tells us this. Titus chapter 2, if you can turn over there real quick. And again, we're kind of hitting these things. But the first point that we're looking at is that you need to add patience unto your life. And you can do that. You can add it because you do it every day and don't even realize it. You can add patience every single day of your life, and you already do that. Titus chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity." Watch this. In patience. In patience. We need to be sound in patience. Let me take one step back before we go to point two. Many people will look at certain men and be it a preacher or there's certain ladies and they'll say, man, you know, they're not moved at all. And they're so easygoing and nothing bothers them. And boy, they're so patient. You know, nothing moves them. Nothing ever bothers them. They just go with the flow. They never do anything, but they just go with the flow. Don't misinterpret patience as being lazy or being callous. I know a lot of people in this life. Okay, a lot of people in this life, they're just callous. Their hearts just hardened. They don't care about another soul. They don't care if that family's falling apart. Not at all. I had a friend of mine call me today and give me some heart-wrenching news. And I mean heart-wrenching. I said, what can I do to help? He said, right now, just pray. And that was all that's the only thing I can do. And I say heart-wrenching, guys. I mean heart-wrenching. I shut my door of my office, and the patient was due in. She was there when I opened it up. And I just bowed my head, and I wept on that chair, and I cried, and I prayed, and I talked to the Lord, and I asked the Lord, whatever you do, help them now. Help them. And I got up from that chair, and tears in my eyes, and eyes bloodshot red, and opened the door, and that lady was sitting out there, and, you know, just took her back and treated her and did what I needed to do. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people in this world today that would have got that same news. Wouldn't have bothered them. Wouldn't have bothered them. You say, preacher, is it going to affect you? Physically? Probably not. Is it going to affect my home? No. Is it going to affect the church? No. Does it affect my friend? Yeah. Does it affect his family? You better believe it. And because it affects him, it affected me. Never mistake someone who's callous or lazy as being patient. Patience is something that you're going to add to your life. You do it every day. You do it already in the life that you lead today. You do it right now. Some of you on Sundays, you add patience in your life. You do it during the work week. The serving the Lord needs to add patience in their ministerial life. Not callousness, not laziness. You're either going to add patience, which I believe and know for a fact that every one of us in here can do, or you're going to allow patience in your life. Flip back over to the book of James, just in chapter 1. James in chapter 1. So you're going to add patience in your life. So that's the first way that you can obtain patience in the serving of the Lord. Or you can allow patience in your life. The Bible tells me in James chapter 1, the first chapter, James chapter 1 and in verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, I'll be the first one to tell you tonight that adding patience is a whole lot more. It's much more pleasant than allowing patience in your life. If you look there in the next verse, verse 4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This path here of allowing patience is much different than adding patience, because this path here must, it doesn't have a choice, it must let. The word let means to allow. It must let patience have her perfect work, not our perfect work. You see now, what did I just do? What did the Scriptures just do now by telling you to let patience or allow patience have a perfect work? Do you know what just happened? Just took you out of the equation. Did y'all catch that? Let me say it one more time. When you have to allow patience in your life, you're taken out of the equation now. First, you have the choice to add it yourself. Now you don't have the choice. Now you have to do it. The trying of your faith worketh patience. What does the word try mean? It means to prove. It means test. Look over probably one page in Hebrews 12 there. In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe we can see quickly. Hebrews 12 verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Did you notice that? Let us. The Lord can allow situations and circumstances to come into our life. For what purpose? To allow patience to be instrumental in our service for Him. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when ye would do well and suffer for it, yet take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. You can add patience to your life, or friend, you will allow patience in your life. Guess whose choice that is tonight? It's ours. We have the choice this evening to either add it ourselves or allow it to come in. But once we have to allow it, we're taken out of the equation. But lastly here, I'll ask you to turn to the book of Romans. I'll have you turn two more times after this and we'll be finished this evening. Let's just say that we opted not to add the patience to our life, be it as a parent, be it as a husband, a wife, be it as an employee, be it as a church member, a minister, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, again, I don't want to separate the two because I believe our life has to be a ministry, both in the workplace, in the community, and the church. We have a job to do when we signed on the dotted line to be saved and born again. I believe that the Lord will allow people to serve God in the workplace just as much as the preacher will be in his pulpit. Amen. I believe that if you're where God wants you to be, He's going to use you in that venue. He's going to use you in that capacity. So let's just say tonight that you decided not to add patience. So I'm just not going to add it. I'll allow it to come in. Then when the trying of our faith comes in, we don't allow patience to have her perfect work. We don't allow patience to move inside of us and through us and develop our mind to the servant of the Lord. So what happens then? The Lord says, okie dokie, fine. You're going to have patience one way or another. If you're not going to let patience have her perfect work, allowing patience in, if you're not going to add it yourself, you're going to acquire it. Now you're going to acquire it. This is a grave difference between the three. The grave difference between the three. And I got to tell you, this last one is the least pleasant by far. Romans in chapter 5 tells me there, I don't know if I gave you the chapter or not, but Romans in chapter 5, and in verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Watch this. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Ladies and gentlemen, we can be patient as a servant of the Lord by adding it within a test or by allowing it during a trial. Or we'll acquire it by tribulation. Romans chapter 12, if you can turn there quickly tonight, Romans chapter 12. The Bible tells me over there in verse 11, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, we spoke about not confusing laziness with patience or callousness. So the Bible says in Romans 12 verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continue an instant in prayer, one way or another. Can I say this to you tonight? One way or another, patience will be part of your life. One way or another, patience will be part of your teaching as a servant of the Lord. The only thing that is not decided yet this evening is how or when you're going to acquire those patience. How or when you're going to possess that patience. How or when you are going to obtain it in your life by what method or by what venue, by what test, trial, or tribulation in your life this evening. That's the only thing that is undetermined here this evening. But it will be part of your life as a servant of the Lord. Understand this. And I believe you do. It is so much more easier to just simply add patience than to have to allow it or acquire it. Last time I asked you to turn tonight, we'll finish 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go back to our text, page. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see this and we'll be finished tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Paul goes on to say, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions, he says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Sure, it's funny that Paul mentioned patience in there in between persecutions and charity. I wrote this down some years ago. Most of you that's been in our church for any length of time, remember the five P's. We used to go over them quite a bit over in the little building. And the five P's were prior planning, prevents poor performance. And that's been a business mantra for mine. Prior planning prevents poor performance. And I wrote this down years ago. Patience places the P in the proper position when prior planning is performed, defeating a poor performance of the practicing servant of the Lord. You see, friend, that's what it takes. If we're truly going to be apt to teach and be gentle unto all men, if we're truly going to be a servant of the Lord, it's going to require, it is a prerequisite, if you will, that we must be patient. You can add it, you can allow it, but friend, one way or another, you will acquire it. You bow your heads with me tonight, with every head bowed, every eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.